Welcome back to A Bold Plan for America podcast. I'm with author John Burke. Today we're going to talk about fixing the healthcare system, not a small task. I want to begin with a quote from medical doctor William Mayo. The greatest asset of a nation is the health of its people.
True. I mean, you know, people find this out as they get older is like what they have is their health and how important health is. And I really believe that the health of the nation is made up of all the health of each individual person. Everybody's individual health matters. And I think that a responsible government would understand that the true reflection of the healthcare system is the health of the people. And we live in a country today where we spend twice as much, almost twice as much money as any other country in the world on healthcare, and we get almost the worst results. 55th out of 57 industrialized countries. And we keep running the same play over and over and over again. It would be like the Los Angeles Dodgers getting last place every single year, and they keep the same player, they keep the managers, and they keep doing the same thing, even though they've been dead last for 20 years. That is exactly what we're doing in the United States. We are dead last when it comes to our healthcare system, and we keep doing the same thing.
So in the book, you talk about our costs, they're out of control, and the future projections are ominous. What is the healthcare industrial complex, and is it working in the best long-term interest of our citizens?
Okay, well, you know, one of my all-time favorite speeches, I mentioned this earlier, is the farewell address by President Eisenhower. Basically what he said was, and this is coming from the great General Eisenhower, the military man who spent his entire life in the military, basically said to the American people, watch out for the military, because we're growing this munitions complex, people who make tanks and missiles, and now they're getting influence in Washington, and it's just this out of control, it's spiraling, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's the military-industrial complex. And everything he said in that speech came out to be true. He would be really disappointed. But what I said is, the exact same logic applies to our healthcare system. We've got the highest cost, the worst, almost the worst results, and we've got insurance companies, we've got drug companies, we've got other people involved in the healthcare system who are making so much money that they love this game. Even though we're like dead last and we're spending money hand over fist, they just want to keep it going. And that's the healthcare industrial complex. Without political courage and without real leadership, you can't stop this train. If you take a look at the finance committees, the other committees in the Congress, the healthcare industrial complex is donating so much money, they have so much influence that once somebody gets in there and wants to change the game, they're going to go over my dead body. And that's the problem. If you take a look at the last presidential election, if you look at healthcare executives, they donated something like $47 million to President Biden's campaign and like $21 million to former President Trump's campaign. When people donate money to campaigns, they don't do it for any patriotic reason. They now have a horse in the race, and if their horse wins the race, they're owed something. And so they're not gonna change the game. And so who's the loser? The loser is the American citizen. And that's why I believe that citizens have a stake in government. Good government matters. good government would be delivering you better health care at a lower cost. Are you interested? Just think about this. If you live in Italy today, your life expectancy is 6.5 years longer than if you live in the United States. You would be able to live 6.5 years longer if you lived in Italy at almost half the cost. Wow. The number one factor of our national debt is healthcare costs. And yet we do nothing about it.
So I want to return to the heart of the matter.
Yep.
The health of the American people is poor. No one's talking about that.
Nobody does. And you know, 42% of the American people are obese. It's embarrassing. And it's driving massive costs because people who are obese are out of spec. That's not how your body's supposed to be. It's like your body's supposed to be like this. It's like this. And you can go through study after study. I mean, all these people who have higher BMIs are more susceptible to cancer. They're more susceptible to illnesses. The list just goes on like this. And the simple answer, and you can read all these books, and the simple answer is care about what you put into your mouth and exercise. That's it. And so my whole point is I'm not fat shaming people. I think our government has failed the American people. And 42% of people are obese today, and people are projecting that it's going to be 50% by 2030. And at what point does the government actually do something about it? When it gets to 60, 70? I mean, it's this massive issue. And, you know, I go back to smoking, and the government had a huge influence there. I go back to drunk driving and take a look at what Mothers Against Drunk Driving did there. Like, there are simple things that the government can do that would create a better environment. And it would allow American people to get healthy. The government could do this, but because of all the people who are interested in the healthcare industrial complex, the government doesn't do anything. So I've been watching a bunch of football games on TV. Buffalo Wild Wings, one pizza company after another, McDonald's. It just goes on. You just keep getting beat and beat and beat over the head with, eat this crap now. And so we do. And you know, I can just tell you, I've struggled with weight my entire life. And I can tell you, you know, when I lose 5 pounds, I feel like a king. I feel freaking great. And when I gain 5 pounds or I gain 7 pounds, I feel terrible. And I mean, I tipped the scales. My all-time high was 226.4. And it was really, really bad. Like, I felt horrible. And you feel so much better when you're healthier. And yet, you know, the government has failed to take an interest in the people.
You have some solutions.
Yeah.
And they address the complex, but also help with individuals. Let's talk about them.
Yeah.
The first is to provide health insurance to all who need it.
I think this is really key, and I think it's key for a couple of reasons. Is people say, well, you're a socialist. And I go, no, I'm actually a business person. But I'm smart enough to understand that right now there's something like 140 million Americans either on Medicare or Medicaid. So if you don't think we have socialized medicine, we have 140 million people who are in fact on socialized medicine here in the United States. So then I asked a person who is against government health care. I asked the person, this was like 5 years ago, and I'll never forget this. They were in my kitchen. I said, if there was a single mother, and she had two kids, and she had breast cancer, and she was out of a job, and she didn't have insurance. Would you help her out or not? Dead silence. Dead silence for almost 60 seconds. Then he turned around, he looked at me, and he goes, I would. That's socialized medicine. I mean, there are some basic rights, and I've come to the conclusion that basic medical care should be the right of every American citizen. Basic care. Just like a public education is a right of every American citizen, we should care enough about people that we provide basic medical care. And there are all these other countries who do this, and they do it at a cost that is significantly less than what it currently costs us.
So others have proposed more coverage. You have a condition with that, which is accountability.
Yeah.
That for those who receive that coverage, yeah, they have a responsibility as well. Talk about that.
Well, I think if the government's going to pay for your health care costs, that you have an obligation to try and be healthy. Like, if you're incredibly unhealthy, should the government be paying for your health care? I don't think the government should. I think it's a choice. And I think that we need to help people get healthy. And I really believe that the government could do some things to really help people become healthy. And then it would become a trend.
So let's talk about that. Yep. One of your ideas is to insist that nutrition information is available on all food items for sale everywhere.
Yeah.
Say more.
Well, I mean, you see it now. I mean, you pick up a package of cigarettes and it says, warning, the Surgeon General says you will die if you smoke these, okay? And, you know, if you go to the grocery store and you pick up a candy bar and you look at it, it says this candy bar is 250 calories and this is the nutritional information. If you go to the ballpark and you get a sundae served in a miniature batter's helmet and that sundae is 740 calories, it doesn't say anywhere that it's 740 calories. If you go out to dinner, I'll pick on the Outback Steakhouse and you order the Bloomin' Onion, and that Bloomin' Onion, I don't know what it is, but if it's 1,300 calories, they don't put it on the menu that this is 1,300 calories. You know, and then there are some responsible companies who are now, you know, fast food places. They're putting it up there. You know, when you eat a Big Mac, it's 600 calories. But I think every single food item in this country should say, this is how many calories this product has. And if this product is really bad for you, it should have a warning. The Surgeon General says that you will get diabetes if you have too many Coca-Colas. It's true. You will. The amount of diabetes in this country, it's an epidemic. And yet we just sit here and we watch. We're ruining people's lives by not taking action.
So your third solution goes to the heart of the industrial complex.
Yep.
And you're recommending that we would prohibit healthcare companies or organizations from making campaign donations. Talk more about that.
Well, here are people who are making the laws of the land, and they're being influenced by companies who are making profits based on their decisions. And so if you ask the American people, do you want your elected officials taking campaign donations from companies and executives who profit off their decisions, I think the answer would be like 97% would say, no, I don't want them taking campaign donations. And yet, our civil servants don't want to impose that rule upon themselves, which shows you how big of a change we actually need in our government.
As a business leader, You've been confronted with the costs,
yep,
but more importantly, with the impact of these health trends. And you took a stand. You took a position on this that you care, and you backed that up. Tell that story.
Well, you know, I was sitting at my desk one day, and I get a phone call, and they said, you know, Tom, a truck driver, he had an accident last night. He was driving across Iowa, and he had a massive heart attack. This guy had worked at Trek for a long time. He was a super great employee, and he could never work again. He was done because he was way overweight, and his health took him out of the game. And then we had a woman who works in our international department, does a really good job. Her husband, way overweight, in his 40s, had a stroke. He was sent to, a care center, really had a negative impact on the family, all because, the person didn't take care of themselves. And then the final straw was this guy who was the manager of our warehouse. Big, big guy. I mean, tall, wide, gregarious, fun. And I played football against him every year in the company football game. And he died in his 40s, two young daughters, 10 and less, and the death certificate landed on my desk, and the death certificate said he died of obesity. And so I was so frustrated. And so we had started some healthcare things at Trek and promoted health. And we'd get the same people all the time at these health events. We'd say, we're going to do a health risk assessment, and we'd have the 0% body fat club show up. All the people who didn't need to be there would be there. And so I had you come into the office. I'm like, Mark, I'm done. I'm like, within 2 weeks, we're going to come up with a healthcare program, and it's going to be what's in the best interest of the people, and I don't care if we piss some people off. I'll deal with it. And so you and I came up with this program, and we said, here's the deal is your body needs to be in this spec, and we're going to help you get there. We're going to provide coaching. We're going to provide counseling. We're going to make sure the cafe is really healthy. We're going to do all these things to help you get healthy. But in the end, you need to get there, and if you can't, you're going to end up paying a higher price. And you and I agreed on what the basic program was, and you need to take, every year, you need to take a health risk assessment, which is like a mini physical. And so before, the people who would show up for the health risk assessment was a 0% body fat club. We'd get like 10% of the people. And we said, you need to do this. We got 100% of the people, right? And I gave that speech, and there were like 800 people at the company. And whenever you give a speech, you can look people in their eye, and you can see if they're paying attention or not. And that day, they were really paying attention. And you and I both thought I was going to get a lot of blowback on this. And I was waiting for the line outside my office. And the line never came. Zero. 0% blowback. And this is Wisconsin. And even though I work at a bike company, there's a lot of people in the warehouse, there's a lot of people in the factory, there's a lot of people in the accounting department. It's not a company filled with product managers. And there was no blowback because I think deep down inside, everybody really wants to get healthy. They don't admit it, but when they have a meeting with themselves, they want to get healthy. They need some help. They need some support. They need some encouragement. And that's what the next leader of the United States needs to provide that. Let's go. I mean, it's an incredible chance to make a difference. And, if you take a look, since Trek implemented that some 15 years ago, we haven't had a healthcare increase in 15 years. Now, full disclosure, we will have one this year. But that's a 15-year run, all because of the healthcare program. I'm confident you could implement that same program with the government. You could put that same program into other businesses and into other organizations. And when you do that, you would change the health of America for free.
There's more information about this important topic in the book. If people would like a free copy, they can visit aboldplan.com. We'll continue to use these podcasts to explore each chapter of the book and, more importantly, the solutions that are inside each.
And the one thing I'd encourage everybody who's listening today, share this podcast with your family, with your friends. Go to the website, download the book. Really encourage other people to do this, because this is a way that citizens can take control of the country. And instead of always relying on politicians, this is a way that you can make a difference and a way for you to be worthy of the title Citizen of the United States.
Thanks for your time.
For sources and citations, please see A Bold Plan for America by John Burke.